So in, let's see, make sure this is on first, yeah. You got that, good. All right. So in Luke 8, where we just read, large crowd gathers to follow Jesus. He's at a point in his ministry where people are hearing about him and more are coming from far places just to hear him and be healed by him. And so Jesus sees this large crowd and he just tells a story. He says something to the effect of this farmer went out and tried to plant his field. And as he was sowing seed, some seed fell beside the road and people would step all over it and the birds would come and eat the seed and take it away. Other seed fell in this rocky soil and the plant would grow, but when the sun came out, it dried up and withered because it didn't have moisture. And some seed fell in the thorny soil, and as it would grow up, the thorns would choke it out and so it wouldn't bear fruit. And then some fell in the good soil and the plant would grow up and yield fruit some 30, 60, 100-fold. And Jesus would just tell that story, no commentary, no explanation, nothing at all. He'd just tell the story and expect his audience to work to figure it out. He'd say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And that same occasion, the disciples came to Jesus later to ask him about the parable, ask him why he speaks in parables. And after a few comments about the purpose of parables, he explained it. Listen again to his explanation. He says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who've heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. They believe for a while, and in the time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who've heard, and as they go on their way are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who've heard, and heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance." And so the parable, as he explains it, is a picture of the spread of the gospel. The seed represents the word. The sower represents the one who shares the word. The soils represent these different kinds of people, different kinds of hearts. Different people, he's saying, will respond to the gospel in different ways. It's not a failure of the seed. It's not a failure of the sower. It's simply about the heart of the hearer. That's Jesus' point. And I want you to think about what he's saying about the potential and the power of the word itself. Christ came proclaiming the word. He taught everywhere he went. You read through Luke and you just see over and over and over again, Jesus is teaching, he's teaching, he's teaching. And the word he proclaimed is this beautiful, powerful gift that's intended to cause growth and produce fruit in people's lives. And the promise of this, what we see in this is if we have good hearts, the word will change our lives and transform us to be like Christ. But the soil does not always support the growth. Think back, just step back again a second, and look at the stats in this parable, what he's describing. All four soil types, right? All four different soils represent four kinds of people who all heard the word, right? We're not talking about people who've never heard. He's saying here are people who've all heard. Three out of four received the word. Do you see that in the parable? Three out of four heard it and received it and said, "Okay, I want this. This is good." Two out of those three ended up not persevering and bearing fruit. Only one grew well and yielded fruit. And so the question I want to ask, are you the good soil? Are you the good soil? We want to think everyone here is the good soil. The sad reality that this parable teaches is that probably isn't the case. Let that sink in for just a minute. The sad reality that this parable teaches is that probably isn't the case. The parable provides a very powerful and necessary warning. We have got to evaluate our hearts, look at our lives honestly and critically, and evaluate ourselves in light of what Jesus is saying here. I want to zoom in especially on the thorny soil. He says, other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And so in this thorny soil that he's describing here, we see the seeds germinating, the plants growing well for a little while, but eventually thorns that were faster and more aggressive grew up and choked out the plant. It's depriving it of nutrients, depriving it of moisture, and so now the plant's weak and unfruitful. All right, here's a picture of my pumpkin patch from 2 years ago. A couple years ago, John and Judy let us borrow some space on their property, and so we went out and prepped the ground and tilled it up and got the soil looking really good, and then we planted, I don't know, we probably put 100 seeds in the ground. I mean, we had plans of this, like, pumpkin patch, and we were going to share all these pumpkins with everybody, and then I went away to Bible camp, and we were gone for another week, and just the summer got away from us, and we did not get out to pull weeds. And we made it out, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later and saw, oh, man, you know, it's starting to take over, but now we don't have time to do all that needs to be done, so we'll come back later. And then later turned into a lot later. And the next thing you know, you've got a weed patch rather than a pumpkin patch. But if you zoom in, you see on the very bottom of that picture, there was a little bit of fruit. Okay, so that is a pumpkin there, but it's just rotten and nasty. You wouldn't call that a fruitful harvest. You would say you wasted your time in mid-June when you spent all that time out there. It's not a fruitful harvest. Now, again, look at this, though. Here's Chels. The soil, when it started off, was clean and perfect. It was ready for a pumpkin patch. We just let the weeds grow. Now, contrast our pumpkin patch, right? Contrast our pumpkin patch to our garden at home the same summer, right? Those are our tomatoes from that same summer. See a difference in fruit and growth? The difference is Chelsea and the kids were out there just about every day pulling weeds, pruning the vines, and so that the vines that were growing were maximizing yield. And so there was some care that was given to the soil to ensure not just the growth of a plant, but fruitfulness. And there's the fruit, the yield. You can tell this picture is a little out of date. And there, I mean, doesn't that look good? It's December now, so we're really far away from being able to have tomatoes like that anytime soon, right? We're mid to late July at the soonest. That versus that. Do you get the picture? Jesus is saying, this might be you. The pumpkin patch, the weed patch, this might be you. He says, the seed which fell among the thorns, I think I've got this right. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who've heard, and as they go on their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. I want you to think about this point that he makes about the fact that they are unfruitful. This person is unfruitful. This person brings no fruit to maturity. Just underscore that in your minds. And remember, this unfruitful person, to some extent, is a follower of Jesus. This is one who's made a commitment to follow Jesus. This is one who's made some basic changes in his life. Again, receive the word. But again, this person brings no fruit to maturity. Like our pumpkin patch, you may see something, but the fruit that's there is either non-existent or it's stunted or rotten. This person has not continued to grow to reflect the character of Christ. Whether you're talking about his love, his compassion, his mercy, his integrity, this person is not focused on the mission of making disciples, either out in the world, out in the community, or at home with your own children, making disciples of your children. This person is not active in the body of Christ, not really invested in the family of Christ. This person is not spending that quiet time alone with God, devoted to prayer, devoted to his word. This person is, again, unfruitful. And this person is unfruitful because he's distracted. His heart, his attention, we see his loyalties divided. His life is given over, is full of too many other things. His heart, his attention, his energy, his affection is given to other things, and there's just not enough room for the Word of God to grow in it and produce the fruit in his life. Because these thorns are there, dividing, distracting, choking out the Word. Well, what are these thorns that choke out the Word? Again, he says the worries and riches and pleasures of life. Just stop and think about that. Worries, riches, pleasures of life. The thorns are the cares and concerns of life, right? The things that are just around us that grab hold of our hearts and our minds. The thorns are the desires and concerns that drive us and fill our lives with the things that just don't relate or impact the kingdom of God. Thorns steal our focus away from God and his kingdom. The thorns steal our affection from God. The thorns steal our energy from the real work God's called us to do. Worry, riches, pleasure. Worry, stuff, fun. However you want to say that. These are the things that are really getting a hold of our lives, filling our lives, filling our hearts, and choking out the Word. I want you just think with me about different aspects of life where you may see these thorns manifesting themselves. Again, these may or may not be thorns in of themselves, but may or may not reveal thorns. But just kind of think through some things with me that may reveal thorns in our lives. Think about things like stress at work, right? Or financial stress. This overwhelming anxiety that's associated with something going on in the world. Nervously watching the stock market. Right, it's wise to invest, but where's our heart in that? If there's just a nervous and anxiety that we're giving to this, desiring stuff and things. What are you talking about? Houses, cars, clothes, toys, tech, any of that stuff. I mean, watching our desire for these things, wanting to please people, wanting to be accepted by people. Right, that can become this it can reveal this thorn that's in our life. Busyness, even with good things. And think about this, because this is a difficult one. We recognize just busyness in of itself may or may not reveal what's in our heart. I think about, put yourself in a position of a slave who's converted to Christ in the first century. He would have had little control over his schedule. So it's not the point so much of, how much time he's spending on a certain thing, or that's out of his control. But as we look at busyness in our life, The critical thing is, what's that reflecting about our heart? Hobbies, all the things we love to do, side projects, house and yard maintenance. Again, just how are we investing our lives, our time, our energy? Overtime, right? Here's one that we think about. Constantly requesting overtime, constantly accepting overtime. You may or may not have control over that, but again, the point isn't saying this is inherently bad or not. But it's just, look at these different aspects of our lives, and does this reflect a thorn or not? Sports, right? Here's something that can consume so much time and energy, whether we're playing it or whether we're watching it. Is that revealing a thorn in our lives? Our kids' activities. I mean, we can be running everywhere, all over the place. What is that revealing about our hearts? Pursuing security in things like 401ks, Roth IRAs, life insurance. I mean, again, there's wisdom in investing in those kinds of things, but pursuing security in that? Is that the source of my security? Pursuing certain relationships, whether they're social relationships, romantic relationships, family relationships, those things may reveal thorns in our lives. Desiring happiness, comfort, convenience in this life, again, could reveal thorns. A fear of job loss. Me time, right? Me time. Entertainment, media, social media, diet and exercise, just obsessing over those things. Political involvement. We recognize a healthy role of political involvement and concern, but we can also recognize an unhealthy involvement in that. Blatant unrepentant sins. Again, many of these things aren't inherently sinful, may or may not reveal any kind of heart problem. But again, as we look at these various things, the point is, as we see ourselves in any of these various activities, where's my heart in this? And that's the ultimate point. They may reveal thorns choking God's word and rendering us unfruitful. Okay. Now, does any of this sound familiar? I preach the same lesson almost word for word. I mean, I've adapted a few words in it. Almost word for word just about a year ago. 358 days to be exact. And I concluded the lesson with a homework assignment. The homework assignment was this: begin to identify thorns in your life. Okay? And the aim of that was to see the thorns and recognize the thorns so we could start getting rid of them, right? To give room in our hearts for the word to grow and bear fruit in our lives. And from there, we launched a year-long effort aimed at recentering and renewing our lives around the person and kingdom of Jesus, aimed at rediscovering personally for each of us the heart of discipleship and church, what it means to be a disciple, what it means to follow Jesus. And so here we are, 357 days later, 56 or whatever it was. Has anything changed? I'm not saying, has anything changed with them? I'm saying, has anything changed with me, with you? Personalize that question. Has anything changed? Are the thorns gone? Are you growing? Are you bearing fruit? Or do you still see a weed patch full of thorns? Again, thinking about busyness, you may be just as busy with work, school, family, or busier, and that's okay. I mean, that again, that's not the point. The question with busyness specifically, do you do busyness different? Right? Has Jesus and the nature and reality of his kingdom changed the way you navigate now these cares, concerns of the world that he's called us to live in and shine his lights in? Are you more committed to Christ? Are you more like him at work, at home? Are you more devoted to his family? Are you more devoted to the mission he's given us? Do you spend more time in his word, spend more time in prayer? Are you more compassionate? Are you more giving? Are you more focused on our hope? If not, that should scare you. And I mean that. You may not have mastered all these things. You may not have figured all these things out. I have not. That's not the point. But a year later, you should be able to see some growth and see some fruit. That's the pattern we have in Scripture. That it didn't take that long for the disciples to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. A year later, you should be able to see some growth and fruit. Now again, we're a work in progress, right? But the point in that is, there should be progress. Understand, this is bigger than just hearing a lesson and feeling convicted, right? This is a reality check, an opportunity to really take a clear measurement of where your life is and where your life is headed. It's one thing, you know, to hear a lesson and be like, okay, I heard that. But I mean, we have a measurable amount of time to look back and say, yeah, I see some growth. I see some fruit. There's no expectation of what that necessarily is, but do you see growth, fruit in your life? Or just, you know, I'm pretty much the same I was earlier. Actually, I'm less concerned about Jesus, unless I hope not. So I'll close with this question. Same question I closed with last year. Are you the good soil? Are you growing and bearing fruit in your life? If not, please do whatever it takes to get rid of those thorns, those worries, riches, pleasures, the things that are just filling your heart, crowding out the place that's reserved for God's word to work in you, to grow and bear fruit in your life, to the glory of Christ. Again, whatever it takes. You know, there's some big picture ways that we can kind of think about this. I as I was working on this, I was thinking about our upcoming 2-year study beginning in January. You know, the study is aimed at just that, getting the word in us so that it can grow and bear fruit. Through personal Bible reading, adult Bible classes, sermons, and hopefully lots of prayer and conversations that we'd be having among ourselves in the next 2 years, we plan to spend that time as a church grounding ourselves in the gospel, the good news about what God is doing in the world in Jesus and through his people from beginning to the ages to come. And I hope everyone here will take full advantage of the opportunities to get the word in your heart so that it will grow and bear the fruit in your life. I hope you'll be devoted to reading through the scriptures each day. Hope you'll invest yourself in the class. Hope you'll hear and live out the exhortations in the sermons. I hope we'll talk about the things together that we're learning outside of those specific activities, that our conversations with one another would just be saturated with the amazing things we'll be seeing in God's Word. And I hope that you'll go out and share it with others. That good news would just be overflowing from you, that you would share it with others that you meet and get to know. And beyond that 2-year study, if you need more direct personal help in getting rid of thorns and helping the word get in your heart so that it can grow in you and bear fruit, talk to me. Talk to the elders. I would love to pray with you, talk with you, read with you, study with you, troubleshoot with you, whatever it takes to let God's word find its way into your heart and let it grow so that you're bearing fruit for the glory of Christ, for your good and for his glory. So again, are you the good soil? Are you the good soil? Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on a ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Jesus would say as well, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, we lift up your name as holy and worthy of all praise and honor and glory. You created all things by the breath of your mouth, the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that's in them. You made us in your image, gave us the rule over your creation, sought to work in us and through us. And throughout the history of the world, we have all failed to give you the honor and glory that you deserve. And you've loved us in the most amazing way. You've been so patient and gracious. And you entered this world as one of us, sharing in our weaknesses and our struggles and all the things that work to steal away our hearts. And ultimately you took the full weight of sin and death, the venom and evil of Satan. And in the death of Jesus, his love and his obedience, you conquered those forces of evil and declared it by raising him from the dead and giving us hope that we will all one day have full victory over death, be raised up, see you face to face and be like you and share eternity with you. God, help us not to live for anything less. Please guard our hearts from the worries, riches, and pleasures of this life. Things that we all recognize are just constantly working against us and just clawing for our focus and our attention, trying to steal away our hearts from you. But may we all be the good soil that is not given over to worries or riches or pleasures, but given over wholly to you, that your word may grow in us and have its effect to change us and make us more like Christ in all things. May we all bear fruit for your glory. Help us as a family here to help each other and to encourage each other and stir each other up and correct one another when necessary, admonish when necessary, but be always patient with each other, always ready to encourage and help us to bear one another's burdens. Help us to be more fruitful as we seek to influence others for your glory and show others Jesus in the way we live and show others our need for Jesus in the ways we live. Help us to always be humble, always be compassionate, be more generous, be more full of love. And may it all be to your glory and never about us, but always about you. Thank you so much for your love and your patience, your kindness, for your grace and for your mercy. In Jesus we pray. Amen. If you would go ahead and open your songbooks. Just take this opportunity to encourage you. If there's anything that we can do for you, if you're ready to be baptized, if you need our prayers or encouragement for anything, please let us know and let's stand and sing.